This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 20th, 2012, episode 535. Well, today is Recorded Tuesday, and we have a fun show for you planned. But before we get to that, I just wanted to go over the schedule for the rest of this holiday week with you. Jamie, I, and Jennifer will be back live tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. And then there will be no show on Thanksgiving. We just want you all to enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have a fantastic day with family and friends. I know we're planning to. And then on Black Friday, we're going to have the fourth annual holiday gift buying episode for you, appropriate for Black Friday. It's our recommendations, working with Equestrian Collections for the gifts of the season. I did that, recorded that episode with Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Show. I think you'll enjoy that. And then we'll be back live again Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week here on Horses in the Morning. Also, on tomorrow morning, Wednesday's show, we'll be doing our review of Lincoln. Jennifer and I got to see that last night, so we'll be talking about what we thought of Lincoln. But now we have for you the Western Radio Show, where they did an interview with roping qualifier Mike Johnson and started talking a little bit about the NFR. So we're going to be bringing that to you right now. We hope you enjoy. Have a terrific day, and we'll see you back here live tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. Oh, and one other thing. No really bad ads this week because we're going to be recorded on Friday with the holiday gift buying episode.
Here we come, we're roping and a ride. Can't stop now, the dirt as a fly, but we're bringing you all the news that you need to know. Home on the ranch or on the road show, post radios, wherever you're going, well, sit right back. It's a Western Radio Show. Sit right back. It's the Western Radio Show.
This is Alan Moorhead.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz, and this is the Western Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
You know, wintertime's coming on. NFR's right around the corner. JB Quarter Horses Futurity lasts in November, right there in Waco, Texas. Days are getting shorter. Nights come on quicker.
It's awful.
Yeah. And my heater went out at the house. Yeah.
Heat? Did you say heat?
Heat. The heater was gone when I got home from Waco. Matter of fact, it was gone before. My wife called me and says, it's getting cold in the house. And I just had some work done on it and that kind of a thing. And 38 degrees. And, of course, I was in Waco, Texas. And she was in Beech Island, South Carolina. And not a lot I could do about it then. But we've got it fixed. $500 later. And the house is warm. Barn's still cold.
Yeah, we got to keep everybody happy, Alan. Otherwise, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's one of those kind
life
of deals.
Life is tough.
Guys, and you can attest to it. If she ain't warm, you ain't happy.
Well, that's where I was going, Alan. Got to keep everybody happy.
I know it. Especially those females.
And mm-hmm.
We'll find out more about that throughout today's program as well. NFR is right around the corner. Congratulations to all of our top qualifiers. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Horses of the Year. And, man, it starts December the 6th. That is a Thursday. It runs 10 days and a lot of great money. Over $5 million at one rodeo in a week in Las Vegas, Nevada. $5 million American.
$5 million.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I just think it's amazing how much the standings can change. I mean, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Because if someone's worked their butt off, if that you can say butt, all year, and then when the pressure gets on, they just lose it. I mean, that's just so sad.
Well, it's not a matter of losing it. I mean, to win it, you've got to be on and stay on. And
exactly.
And
yeah.
And when you've got go rounds at the NFR paying $17,000 and better, and if there's only a $20,000 difference, even a $40,000 or $50,000 difference when you can go out and earn close to $200,000, and you know, counting average money and such as that, you can close the gap pretty doggone quick. It's gotten to where in 2012, you know, used to be that if you were in the top five, you might have had a shot at winning the world championship, maybe even down to six or seven. But now you can go in at number 15 and daggum sure come up and win that son of a gun. It depends.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that's counting on somebody up at the top end not having a finals that they'd like to have. And
exactly.
You know,
that's all part of the game.
Yeah, but they've got to drop way out before you can get up there and do that kind of a thing. But holy cow, it can certainly change. And then Brittany Posey, that I said last week was going to try to get on here, was really tied up this week with some things. And hopefully next week she'll be able to record a show with us and give us an insight on going back to the NFR. To win possibly a third world title, and lots of great information about being reunited with another horse there. And I told you last week when we recorded, I was in Waco, Texas at the JB Quarter Horses Barrel Futurity, and Brittany won the Longo Round on She's Free to Flame, a great horse owned by some Texas folks, Jan Boltinghouse, and Carly Pierce, I believe, is in on ownership of that horse as well. Really had a nice first go around, but it was Brett Monroe, a guy from Georgia, won the deal. He probably won, just figuring close to $18,000, $20,000 on the week with some incentives and stuff that were up in that thing. RLJ High Intensity, the name of the horse that he's riding, and he's really got a shot at the Barrel Futurities of America World Championship show coming up in December, same time as the NFR in Oklahoma City, and that'll be webcast. So you can watch the webcast, you can watch television with the NFR, and enjoy barrel racing, rodeo, all week long, the first week of December. Can you do that?
Love to.
And speaking of the NFR, and speaking of trips to the NFR, we got a great guy lined up for today's show. 23 years of his. He's only 48 years old, Tammy, and he's been to the NFR 23. I think he went the first time when he might have been 2 and a half. I don't know. Half of his life has been spent at the NFR, and, of course, that was started even before leaving Oklahoma to go to Las Vegas. Mike Johnson's the guy's name. He's married to Sherry Lynn Johnson. She, too, has been to the NFR and into Cowgirls Barrel Racing. I almost said, yeah, she went into bull riding, but outstanding barrel racer, NFR qualifier. Mike happens to be the PRCA, the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association's tie-down roping director. That's calf roping for some of you traditionalists. He's going to give us some insight on his career, Tammy, and some of the horses that he's ridden. And he also produces an event called the World's Richest Calf Roping there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which also has an invitational barrel race put on by Sherry Lynn Johnson. The thing's going to be a lot of fun today. A lot of information to be learned about the NFR that you may not know.
I bet there's a lot I don't know.
Yeah. It's, well, you still believe that Handsome is the best horse in the world, so.
That I know.
Second.
Tell me something
second,
I don't.
He's only second to my bucking announcing horse.
Yeah. I bet Mike Johnson's got some horses as good as ours, if not, we're gonna hate to say better.
And we're going to visit with Mike Johnson right after this from Kentucky Performance Products.
Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. Does this describe your horse? Spooky, tense, edgy, unfocused? If these words describe your horse, a calming supplement could make training easier and riding more fun. Trouble-free paste from Kentucky Performance Products is scientifically formulated to support proper nervous system function and help your horse maintain a more confident, focused, and relaxed disposition. Trouble-free contains a blend of ingredients that support your horse's normal nerve cell and muscle function and is available in a convenient 80cc oral dosing syringe containing two 40cc servings. Ask for Trouble-free from Kentucky Performance Products at your local feed and supply store or go to www.kppusa.com.
We're proud to have him with us today, and he's at the ranch in Henrietta, Oklahoma, riding and creating that next superstar tie-down roping horse. Mike Johnson, 23 trips to the National Finals Rodeo. Mike, welcome to the WesternRadioShow.com.
I'm Mike.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Hi.
Good to see you. Hey, talk a little bit about the start of Mike Johnson in the world of rodeo. I mean, I think now you're 48. You were born in 64. Yes, Tammy, he's younger than me.
You let it out the bag. That's not very nice, Alan.
I'm going to tell the truth on this one. and 23 trips to the NFR. I mean, God, you must have started going when you were in, like, in the second grade.
Yeah, my rodeo career started pretty young. You know, ever since I can remember, we have videos as young as me being 2 years old tying calves. And my first competition was at the age of 10. And after that, I purchased my pro card when I graduated high school at the age of 18, and I haven't looked back.
Why look back when you're going to the NFR?
Well, that was the case. I had promised my mother I would try the rodeo circuit 1 year and then go to college. And of course, I didn't keep that promise. The following year, I made it to the NFR, and it was just a dream of mine. And no, I never looked back. It was just I knew what I wanted to do for my career. You know, I was hooked and sold and loved it.
So after 23 trips to the NFR, what would you say has been the biggest change that you've seen in the NFR?
The money obviously gets a little better every year, which, you know, is a good thing. But just the overall preparation and conditioning of everything from the cattle and people being extremely serious about it, I think it's a full year-round job for someone to do it now. Where before, I think people may have held a job and rodeoed part-time and tried to make it to the NFR. And I can compare that to back when my brother rodeoed in the 70s. And nowadays, the last 20 years, you know, there's a lot of people going at just the rodeo competition. And it makes the competition pretty tough.
The 70s, they were kind of a blur for me. I mean, I can't even remember that far back.
I was just born.
Oh, shut up. I hate you, Amina, this time. You know, so much, Mike, has been made of through media and many things about the great career of Ty Murray and the story of how in a class one day he wrote down specifically on a piece of paper when they were talking about goals, you know, I want to be a cowboy. I want to be a world champion cowboy. I will be a world champion cowboy. When for you? In your life and in your career, watching your brother and coming up on a great family ranch in there in Oklahoma, when for you was there the switch was pulled and the light came on and said, Mike Johnson's going to be an NFR caliber tie down roper?
Oh, I probably envisioned that around the age of 10 or 12 years old. Wow. But it probably really hit home at the age of probably 14. I went to my first amateur rodeo against the adults, and I actually tied a calf in 8-7 and placed at that rodeo. And I knew at a younger age that I could compete with the older guys, and it was just, going to be a way of life for me. You know, I anticipated, you know, the moment when I could buy my card and compete. And you never know where you're going to stand and until you actually do it. But you know, I knew at a young age, 14 or 15, that was going to, you know, my career, I was going to pursue calf roping at the pro rodeo level.
And, Mike, what do you say has been your biggest, what's been your, the biggest thing that's helped you get through, would you say? Is it family or is it having a horse?
Family
or
support, without a doubt. Again, I had my brother to pattern everything after. He had his card and rodeoed. He was actually 15 years older than me, so he was kind of a father figure as well. So he led the way. My parents were very supportive from day one with practicing and just supporting me going down the road and living that lifestyle. So, you know, in most cases, I think family is very important, and just the people I met along the way, friends, and everyone has to have help. And I had great help from the older guys, you know, from Roy Cooper to Dave Brock, those types of guys that, were already going to the NFR when I first started coming in. And it just helps to know those guys. And, you know, again, through my family and brother, I knew most of the guys I was competing against just because they'd been to our home or practiced or through the rodeo circuit, I'd met them. So it made it a little easier for me for the transition.
Wow, 15 years between your brother. Now, are there any other siblings between you guys, or was it 15
No.
years? Holy
yeah,
cow.
15 years.
Ranching got busy.
That's right.
Oh, they were having to work to keep up with horses for your brother. And talking about horses, and of course you mentioned Roy Cooper and Blake and many of those other guys. Was there anyone pro cowboy, or was it your brother? Or, I mean, who did you idolize? Who did you want to be like when you grew up? And, man, did you grow up? You a big fella.
Well, obviously my brother, he was a role model in my life and very competitive. He trained horses most of his life. He made it to the NFR twice. And, again, he just rodeoed part-time, you know, closer to home. But I idolized most everyone that was in the top 15. I couldn't wait to read the Business Journal or the Sports News at that time and see who was in there, any new names. So I looked up to all those guys, you know, couldn't wait to be around them and see how they roped and how they carried themselves and done things. And there was a lot of, you know, positive role models in my life, you know, just through my younger days.
Now, did you just focus on the timed event end of the arena, the tie-down roping, the team ropers and such as that, the steer wrestlers, the steer ropers, or did you really just kind of sit back and watch the rodeo as a whole? Were there any rough stock riders that may have had just a little bit of an impact on Mike?
Oh, I'm sure, you know, there was. You know, I was friends with Wayne Frost. We were the same age. Went to the youth rodeos and high school rodeos together. And, you know, I can remember one instance with Wayne. I think we was probably 19 years old, and we were both set to go to, at least I think I made the finals that year. I'm not for sure if he did. That would have been in 1983. And we were standing behind Mesquite there, and I can remember he and I talking about, you know, what it would take to be a world champion. And we both complimented each other to the fact that we thought both of us had what it took. And, you know, I never made it to that level. He did. But, you know, that was a fond memory with him, you know, a long time ago. And, you know, we were good friends. And, you know, some of the rough stock guys I really enjoyed riding, you know, especially the ones I knew personally. So, yeah, those guys on both ends of the arena had a big influence on me.
That's a lot of that camaraderie from one end to the other. I mean, you know, when you're on the rodeo trail, it's more than just being a rodeo competitor. It's like family. And since you brought him up, the infamous and the immortal Lane Frost, oh, how many memories are still made with that guy? But in a book, and it's basically about bull riding, it's called Gold Buckle Dreams. Somewhere along about two-thirds of the way back, there is a picture of Lane Frost coming off a horse, getting ready to run down the line. Did you ever see Lane do any tie-down roping? I mean, he was all-around cowboy, too. You know, folks
I
know
did.
Him for bull
riding. He roped in high school and was very good at it. I know his passion was riding bulls, and he actually roped a little bit, I think, at some of the pro rodeos, just probably more on the level of borrowing a horse and just showing up to enter a little bit. But at one time, I know he ribbon roped and done the calf roping thing in high school level. And, you know, I can remember him, you know, being pretty talented at doing it. You know, I don't know how much, you know, work he put into that, into the arena, you know, compared to bull riding, but he was very talented. You know, he was a good athlete in that manner.
Yeah, he was.
Talking about athletes, Mike, what with 23 NFRs, how many horses do you think have carried you through that? Do you have a favorite one, or is it just being varied horses through
I do. When I first started out, I rode a horse. His name was Sputnik, and he was a little bay horse. He was about 14.3 hands tall, and he was probably my favorite horse. I probably rode him 14 years. And, of course, my brother had a black horse that carried Jim Gladstone to the World Championship, I think, in 1978. And, you know, I haven't had that many horses. I rode my Palomino horse, Levi, I think, for 11 years. And then, you know, so I could narrow it down to three or four horses over that course of time that were legitimately hauled for several years and competed on probably 80% of the time. And that's unusual because I know a lot of horses, you know, it's hard to go down the road, but I've been pretty blessed with having horses that were sound and durable and, you know, could take the road for that many years.
It takes a great horse to do that. You got to have a
trainer. Well, and I think that takes great care to keep one going. So I think that's a huge compliment to yourself for the care that you've probably given those horses to keep them going that long.
Yeah, and
well,
I know.
No doubt. Thank you.
And not to take anything away from the family, Sherry Lynn Johnson, your wife, she's been to the NFR several times herself, and here recently. And I know that both of you guys are masters with horses, horsemen, and you do some amazing jobs training horses. And you're also doing clinics all over the country now. Of these horses that you've ridden in your career, were they Mike Johnson horses? I mean, colts that you broke, started, and made into tie-down roping horses? I mean, what kind of a percentage of horses have you created under your saddle? Or is it kind of a, you know, go out and watch and see who's doing good and try to buy up some colts and that kind of stuff and finish them off?
Well, mostly, of course, you know, that's what my brother done for a living.
Right.
Trained horses and obviously the ones, of course, back in my younger days, you know, we could season them and do that type of thing. And most of the horses we've had, we've just, trained ourselves and, you know, hauled them a couple of years before we could get them good and seasoned and travel that way. But, you know, today's times, seems like most everyone, you know, and it's probably the proper way to do it is actually see what you're going to get and
right.
see something good out there and try to purchase it. It's a little bit more expensive to do it that way, but it's probably more effective. You know what you're going to get. Again, you know, as I look back through my career, I've been pretty fortunate to have horses that we started and they actually made good horses, but it doesn't always work out that way. So,
right. And the reason I say that is and Tammy knows this as well as I do, and anybody in rodeo does, and just what you said, the seasoning is such an important part of it. I mean, they can be one kind of a horse in the box at home. There's no sound. There's no crowd. I mean, you know, and you've got your practice cattle that you're working, and they're pretty much going to be like that all the time. But until you get them in that rodeo atmosphere with a Bob Tallman, a Boyd Pohamas, or myself in the background just a blaring something out, some music going strong, you just don't really know what you have. And one of the things that I want you to kind of touch on right here is, okay, you had Levi for 11 years that was just handy-dandy, there all the time, same run, right there in the shade of the box where buckles and championships are earned. How easy is it, or how hard is it, to set Levi to the side, leave him tied to the trailer, and do you just choose your rodeos, maybe a smaller-paying rodeo, less added money or whatnot, to introduce these horses that you're seasoning? How easy is it to come off of old trusty and try to get on this young horse and get some seasoning done in some rodeo?
Oh, it's one of the most difficult things. You know, as long as you have a seasoned horse, you know, it doesn't matter what event, it's hard to get on another horse for seasoning because it's almost defeat. You know,
yeah.
It's hard to win and compete.
Amen
against
to that.
They're all the good ones. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, and I've had to do it a few times. But, you know, in the long run, if you've got a young horse that you know, can see that's going to do good things down the road, the only way they're going to get through the atmosphere and the pressures of winning through the barrier is to actually go through it. So, you know, in the end, it's satisfying to make it through it with those horses. The horse I'm riding now, Bam Bam, the last few years, I've hauled him, and we went through that process. And right now, it's pretty rewarding. I feel pretty confident with him, and he and I know each other, and it's pretty rewarding, you know, to get through those times as well.
And all I'm going to say right now is Tammy Schrantz is now your biggest fan. She's going to keep up with what Mike Johnson does from here on out, riding a horse named Bam Bam.
I have a miniature horse, and he's called Bam Bam, and he's kind of our little ranch mascot around here, and has his own fan page, and so Bam Bam is quite the celebrity around here. So.
Yeah.
That's the only other horse I've ever heard that's called Bam Bam.
Tammy's all about rodeo barn names right now. A couple of weeks ago, when the AQHA and the PRCA, WPRA announced Horses of the Year, I was kind of going down through and talking about some of the nicknames and Latte, Mary's horse there in the WPRA that won Horse of the Year, like Sweetness with the tie-down roping. She says, oh, y'all have such cool names for yours.
You do. What? Y'all have awesome names for rodeo horses. That might change disciplines just for it.
Talk a little bit about your job now with the PRCA and being the director of the tie-down roping event, formerly known as calf roping, but I guess you could say politically correct now. We're calling it tie-down roping. What are some of the responsibilities you have? And I ran into you at Mesquite, Texas this last weekend getting some calves and things ready for the NFR. But talk about some of the responsibilities on the yearly basis, week in, week out, of what you have to do as being an event director with the PRCA.
Well, I feel like it's an important job just because we use calves more often than say steer wrestling steers and team roping steers, because one reason, all the animals you deal with in the PRCA are all adults. The bareback horses, bulls, they're pretty old. And in calf roping, you don't want to get them too young and too small. And at that point, in 30 days or a month, they can actually grow to be too big to use. So we're always bringing in new calves, for mm-hmm. the competition. You got to have them just right. And there are, weight limits and minimums. So, with that, it's very important to communicate with the committees, and the stock contractors and even the tie down ropers to keep them prepared and keep an even set of calves going. So, even breaking in the calves for the NFR, we have a certain target date. We purchase the calves and prepare them, and we actually send them out there 2 weeks prior to the NFR so they can get acclimated, to the weather and the conditions and
oh, wow.
the feed program and everything. So, there's a lot that goes into just the tie-down roping mm-hmm. that you don't see in the other events. I know those animals are taken well care of. They get, great feed programs and all that. But again, just the nature of the calf being younger and still in the process of growing, that's the things we have to monitor and watch. So it's a nonstop issue, on my end, just to communicate that all through the year. So pretty busy job at times.
Now, have you ever had to be Mr. Bad Guy and say that, well, these calves just are not what they're supposed to be, almost said ain't, are not what they're supposed to be at the rodeo. And
it's
and
Western calls, Radio Show. Yeah, go ahead.
And I know that there's, there's stipulations for size and weight and stuff at
sure.
the rodeo they have to be within. And if not, there can be a fine to the stock contractor. Have you ever had to impose a fine on a guy?
Well, at this point, that's not one of my job descriptions. That's solely up to the judges and the PRCA. And that's, again, that's some of the things I try to do is head off or at least communicate to the stock contractors, look, your calves are getting borderline, and before you get fined, maybe we can change them. And I've had a great success rate just communicating, over the phone or, having event reps throughout the different circuits that, have eyes on the calves. And, at 700 rodeos, I can't be everywhere. But we've got a pretty good system down pat now. And, just like anything, there may be someone, push the line a little bit and try to get one more week out of them. But overall, it's pretty good success rate getting everything, turned over and prepared. And so guys don't get fines. I don't want anyone to get a fine. And, of course,
right.
It's a fine line. I'm trying to get the best set of calves I can for, the competitors in the tie-down roping as well. So it all works out pretty good.
23-time NFR qualifier, and, of course, he's got that talented, lovely lady, Sherry Lynn Johnson, that rides those barrel horses as well. And we got a few more questions about some of the NFR stuff. Like I mentioned a moment ago, ran into Mike at the Mesquite Rodeo Arena, where he mentioned a few moments ago about all the stock, the calves, that have been purchased to go to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and the top 15 get together and get to rope them and select what goes, what doesn't go for one reason or another. And it's not about just practicing on the stock. It's about making sure that the over 17,000 inside the Thomas and Mack and the millions that watch across the globe and intergalactically, if you will, on television now and with the internet out there. It's just important to make sure you've got a great performance. Talk a little bit about the weekend, this past Sunday, Monday, there in Mesquite. And I'm going to tell you what, sat there and watched, and the tie-down roping this year is really going to be tough at the NFR. But explain to our listeners at westernradioshow.com, it's not about just getting to practice on the calves and making sure that you got the little lollipops there and that kind of a thing, because they want to be challenged. But talk about the selection process of going through the over 200 to get those down for the NFR.
Sure. It's, we get the top 15 in each event and the horses they ride and compete on in the timed events. But, mm-hmm. you know, part of the, you know, attraction and, you know, the performance there is the preparation of the cattle. And, right. you know, to select the cattle, it's a big process. You know, we'll have 150 head and we'll narrow them down to 75. And it's not about practice. It's about trying to get calves with the same temperament, right. Obviously the same size. And, you know, the only way to do that is to actually, you know, send them through the chutes and see how they react to different things. Every now and again, you might get a calf that wants to, you know, lie down in the chute. But, you know, we'll eliminate those types of cattle. But, you know, it's a big process, and we take a lot of pride in spending 2 days there at the Mesquite Rodeo Arena in selecting and preparing those calves and to try to make it the best show possible out there in Las Vegas. So, you know, it's a team event. You know, you have a calf, a horse, and the competitors. So if all three are prepared in a good way, it's going to be a great show. So again, we take a lot of pride, and it takes a couple of 8-hour days to just select the calves. And then once we go to Vegas, we do it all over again and set the pens and then actually narrow it down to the final 15 calves that are used for competition.
So what do you look for when you're looking for a good calf? Is there a certain age? Is there a certain weight, or what makes a good calf?
Yeah, you know, to start medium with, rare. Our rule book tells us. Our rule book states that the minimum weight needs to be 220. So we start with that direction, and we, you know, of course, we use all heifers, and we just try to get calves. We don't want one calf that runs like Secretariat, and then the next one's really slow. So we try to get all the same speed, and the same size, and just the same temperament. You don't want a wild calf versus a gentle calf in the same pen, you know, their demeanor, you know, to try to get 15 calves with the same demeanor, the same speed, right. and the same size, it actually takes a little work and a little effort. So, you know, to go through that process. So, and
so
again, we use
heifers?
Three pens of calves. Excuse me?
How come they're all you said they were all heifers?
Yeah, we use heifers. It's just, I don't know. It's just something that's been in the rule book for a long time. And we just feel like the heifers, you know, they're a little more spry and they just have a little bit more energy at that age compared uh-huh. to some of the steer calves. And it yeah. just, we feel like it makes a better competition.
Oh, well,
girl power, girl power.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even going to go there, Alan.
Yeah. You were too. That's why you started that round of questions.
No, I just, you know, I never really, you watch the NFR on the TV and you don't think about, well, you don't realize that all this work goes on just for you to see that calf come out of that chute. You know, I guess
sure.
You don't realize the complicated web behind picking that thing.
Yeah. And just to paraphrase, in the way that they set these pens, I mean, they'll do it by, they want to get calves in there that are close on the same on the start, which is leaving the chute. They'll have a fast pen, a slow pen, a big pen, a small pen, and then that way every one of the 15 guys within that round have basically the same type of calf. Now, in which, going back to girl power, you just don't never know what side of the bed that the girl woke up on that morning, you know.
That's what makes it a competition.
And I mean, you know, she might get in that box and, well, I've got a headache tonight. It's just not going to work. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those kind of things. It's livestock.
It is. It's livestock, and that's why they have the draw, and that's why they call it the luck of the draw sometimes. You know, and cattle, like people, they don't do the same thing twice sometimes. So, but you try to narrow it down and go with the percentages. So, you know, and that way you're at least in the same, you know, pen of calves that either are slow or fast and that right. type of thing. But some calves have good nights and bad nights just like we do.
And talking about the speed, and when folks really think of speed and the tie down roping, basically the speed that is most recognized is the number that's on the scoreboard after the tie. Talk a little bit about the transition of calf roping over the years. And I know that back in the day when you got started, the calves were larger, the times were longer because you had to really, I mean, it took you a while to flank them down, get them tied, get your hands
yeah.
in the air. Talk about
yeah.
the numbers that we're seeing today with 6.5 seconds, you know, being a record run inside the Thomas and Mack, to where on that same kind of time, you know, 13, 14 years ago, it might have been a 10-second run and would have been, you know, ecstatic to get that thing because of the size. Are you glad to see smaller calves being used, or you want to go back where you had to man up? I mean, your size, you could do it, the man up and get one of them big old 400-pounders down.
Well, I tell you, you know, either is okay, but I think it's more fascinating to the crowd, just the fast pace for the fast times. I know it's trying to, you know, we're trying to put on a show and, you know, a fast pace and where everybody can showcase their skills. And sometimes on the bigger calves, you know, it's just a different skill set. I know when I first started out, the calves weren't prepared as far as being roped. They actually walked out of the chute, you know, and right. and they were 300 pounds compared to 220 pounds. So, you know, the times by nature were longer, and it was just a different style of roping. And now we're getting calves that leave the chute. They're smaller. They're just better prepared. And guys can actually showcase how fast they can go. And, you know, speed looks pretty good to people, you know, whenever right. you're at full speed tying a calf and can get back on your horse in a 6 or 7 second run. It just seems to appeal to the crowd, especially indoors in Las Vegas where it's a small arena. So, you know, things have changed dramatically as far as just, you know, learning from the past, you know, that smaller calves are a little better. People are holding their slack now and standing them up to where the calves are actually standing there mm-hmm. when they get to them. And so it just makes a faster pace, and, you know, it's a different skill set. And, you know, I love watching it, and I love competing doing it. So it's been a good transition, you know, for me.
Now, which kind of calf really can you be quicker on? One that leaves hard and runs fast, or to me, the ones that run slow, you just can't be quick on because it just takes longer for everything to shape up. But in your mind
true.
And in your
That's
runs,
true.
Which kind of calf do you really want to suit you?
You said it. I think you need calves leaving sharp where mm-hmm. you can take the start as far as leaving the box with your horse. And obviously, when a calf is running and gets to the end of the rope quicker and you're not having to wait for him to do that, you can go ahead and dismount and start, you know, getting ready to make your run on the ground. So those types of calves is what we actually try to select, you know, the calves that have a little more life to them, that feel like they're going to run and leave the box sharp. And obviously, you know, take a tie, you know, it's a certain type of calf that, you know, has a good demeanor that way. But yeah, that's the best type of calf, you know, when we're selecting them, we try to put as many in the herd that way.
And there
there'll be more chance to be fast.
There were some of them that were on the start hard and running AAA the other day that's going to be really quick inside the Thomas and Mack.
Sure.
And with being the event director of Tie Down Roping and your top 15, it's stellar. I mean, Hall of Famers that will be in there. Brand new Canadian champion Shane Hanchy. He's won at he's won down at Houston in the past. He sits number 8. I think to me, one of the biggest things right now is Justin Moss, Giddings, Texas, $144,000 earned. Tough Cooper, world champion. He's only $40,000 back. After watching the guys, and there were several of them that were really. I mean, you know, they were testing the cattle last week in Mesquite. Going into the NFR and after a long season, in Mike Johnson's humble opinion, what are we looking at for a title race in Las Vegas in 2012 with the tie-down roping?
Well, I tell you, you know, Justin Moss has had just an amazing year. He's won a lot of firsts, and he has a dominant lead, but you know, for the year, it's a dominant lead. But once you get to Vegas, you know, everything, you know, almost starts over again. You know, a guy halfway down the list can have a few good go rounds and be setting good in the average. And I know that last day, you know, there's about 60,000 to be won with the average and that go round combined. So, boy, things change dramatically out there. It's nice to have a lead, but it's
right.
not safe by any means.
Well, he's sitting second, and he's got 124,000 won. But I mean,
yeah,
that's just a little bit more than one round on. I mean, that's one night at the NFL.
Yeah, sure, wow. sure. And when you have guys that's already been there and done that, like Tuff, and then Cody O, you know, you can't discount them. Hunter Heron looks really, really good.
Oh, he
he's got a new young horse that's really working good, and I'm gonna pick an outside favorite, and I have a reason for that. And I'm gonna go with Houston Hutto. He's got about 80,001, and he's gonna ride my horse Bam Bam out there. So I'm gonna have to go with Houston.
Well, if it's Bam Bam, I'm going that way too.
Now, was he riding Bam Bam this past Monday there in Mesquite?
He did. He ran a few calves on him both days. Yeah, Sunday and Monday.
And looked really, really sharp. He sure did. And of course, you got to figure in there.
I thought he rode him well.
The milk cow man. He's sitting number 10. What kind of an impact do you think that the man who raises the roof, Fred Whitfield, is going to have in this finals again this year?
You can't ever discount Fred. You know, when the lights come on and he gets in big situations, he's going to be ready. He has too much experience not to go there and be a threat of some nature. I know he's down a little further this year, but he's going to be one of the guys that holds his own and wins, you know. And if, you know, things get tapped off right, you know, he can make a move. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. You got a lot of young talent there. There's some newer guys that's been there a couple of times that, like Corey Solomon, and you mentioned Shane Hanchey. Those guys, after a couple of NFRs under their belt, they're going to know what to expect. I think they'll be more comfortable there. And, you know, somebody like that could make a move. So there's no safety issue for Justin Moss by any means, even though he does have a good advantage.
Well, if you've got Tough Cooper breathing down your throat and a man who just feeds off the energy of the Thomas and Mack, Cody Ole sitting in third with just over 100. I mean, you've only got $40,000 on him. You could be in trouble if you start taking things for granted. Let's talk a little bit about,
no question.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Horse of the Year. Now, Clint Cooper, the other brother, Tough, Cliff's in it, and Cliff is all the way down at number 15. You think that Cliff might be calling up Clint right now and say, I need Sweetness. Of course, Sweetness is a multiple Horse of the Year of the PRCA and the AQHA with that great award. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and Clint's not qualified. You think that we might see a performance or two with Sweetness out there with some of these guys?
I would like to see Sweetness out there. He deserves to be there.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You know, it would make sense to me if Tuff or Cliff, one of those guys, got on him. But I could see him going out there. I don't know for sure that he is, but that horse needs to be in that arena.
Yeah, well, I know he wasn't there in Mesquite, so that's just one of those things, too. So it's going to be a Bam Bam week out there the first week of December. And Tammy's going to be watching every performance.
I will.
Yeah, and not only as an event director, Mike Johnson is also a producer. And I can't remember how long ago you got this started. It's held in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's after Christmas, after the NFR. It's called the Mike Johnson World's Richest Calf Roping and the Sherry Lynn Johnson Invitational Barrel Race. You know, there's a lot of folks that listen to Western Radio Show in that part of the world that may would like to come and go. Talk about the concept, the idea that you had, and exactly what makes it the World's Richest Calf Roping there in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Well, one concept I had, Clem McFadden used to have the World's Richest Calf Roping years ago, and mm-hmm. He produced that for about 15 years. And, anyway, I started that back over, I think about 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one reason I know the NFR left Oklahoma City and went to Vegas, and there's a lot of tie down roping, barrel racing and rodeo fans right around the Tulsa area.
Exactly.
And Oklahoma.
Right.
And we're just bringing a little bit of the NFR type atmosphere to Tulsa, December 22nd. And we get a lot of the top 15 tie-down ropers and bell racers that come to our event. And it's just real exciting to watch. It's a full day of calf roping and bell racing. And, you know, it for us, it feels like a little bit, we're bringing a little bit of the NFR to Oklahoma.
So when they say world's richest, just how rich is it?
Well, it's pretty rich. It's a $100,000 purse. We have 80 ropers.
That's great.
Entry fees are $1,200 just to enter. So you can tell by that, you know, everyone that enters that thinks they rope pretty good. So it's pretty good watching. And my wife, Sherry Lynn, has the Invitational Barrel Race as well. And I think it's a $25,000 purse. And again, we get several of the top 15 girls that actually come here and compete. So it's really fun to watch.
And
that's,
I know,
awesome.
You've had some young ladies come out there and win big in the past, too. I know that's been a barrel race that's featured Hot Shot, who we've had a feature on here with with our good friends from there in Vinita, Oklahoma, the Steinoffs. Caitlin Prentice, a little young lady from Oklahoma, has won that thing. I believe that was on 7 days, a horse that she won the Derby with at the Barrel Futurities of America. Good Lord, you've had Trevor Brazil, the top name in timed events, win there as well. What does it mean to you to be the producer, putting on a great event like this with all that great money up for grabs and having all these folks fighting? I mean, they're literally fighting for a spot to be in your event there in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, I'm a big calf roping fan as well, mm-hmm. as a competitor, and I love to watch it, and it gives me a chance to, you know, be hands-on with all the guys and, again, try to have the best conditions and the best calves available for the competition. And, you know, it's really fun to watch and, you know, anticipate who's going to win it. I know all 18 years, and this was just brought to my attention, someone that has made it to the NFR has won my event every time. I think Fred Whitfield's won it 3 times. But
you can't let him come back.
Houston Hot Toe. Excuse me?
I said, you just can't let him come back. He's not won it too much.
Yeah, he's won it quite a bit, and he's one of the fan favorites there as well.
Yeah.
So, but it's exciting to watch all the new young talent coming up. They enter, and some of the old veterans, and it's just a good combination and a great day for an event.
Now, with a $100,000 purse, I know that there can be some pressure to perform, and maybe some egos can get in the way. But talk about how close-knit these guys are with fans. And they're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The arena is really kind of close there at the Biltford Tough Arena right there in the middle of fairgrounds. And do you see a lot of interaction? Is there a lot of fan response? Is there a lot of competitor response to the fans within your program and the appreciation of just the cowboy in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. There, the way the arena is set up there, I know the fans are just within elbow distance of all the contestants, and I've never seen so many autographs, T-shirts, ball caps, and that type of thing signed just literally all day long. And, you know, to be able to interact with some of the people that you've seen on TV or some of the up-and-coming stars, it means a lot to a lot of the young kids out there that are coming to watch the event. And, you know, it makes me feel good to produce it and, you know, bring everyone together, the fans and the competitors. So it's real exciting for me on that level.
How many barrel racers get to come? You got 80 tie down ropers. How many barrel racers?
We have 80 tie down, and we have a 50 limit to the barrel racing. And it's a one and a short round. So everyone runs one time in competition. The top 15 come back for finals.
Is it a one-day or a two-day event? Yeah, lots of pressure.
It's a one-day event. One-day event. Saturday, December 22nd, and starts at noon.
Oh, right before
Christmas.
That would
just be great watching, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And it's not far from Stephenville, Tammy, so you can make
That's
it.
That's kind of what I was thinking, Alan.
and Delta goes that way from here to Augusta, Georgia, too. So, I might just slip
you
in
bet.
There. And plenty of seats available. Where can they get tickets online? Or can they go to your website there at Johnson Sports?
Yeah, you can go to our website. Yeah, just go to our website and just click on to the Mike Johnson's World Richest Roping. And we have VIP seating and just regular ticket sales, and you can do that online.
Yeah, and one thing I will tell you, it's a nice arena, but it's not huge. Don't miss it because you waited too late to try to get a ticket. It will sell out. You've sold it out many times, haven't you?
We have sold it out, and there are just so many seats available. There's a few standing room only tickets, but once tickets are sold out, that's it. So you got to get there early.
I'm going to go ahead and get mine. Tammy, go ahead and put me down for two.
That just sounds like so much fun. I love watching other people under pressure where I can just sit and eat popcorn.
What is the winner's share of the $100,000 purse? And, of course, you take the jackpot money there with the $1,200 each. What does it pay to win it?
Actually, every year the winner wins somewhere around
$25,000.
Wow. So it's pretty good Christmas present to go home with. So it's usually in the 20s, but 25, 26,000 is usually around what the winner actually takes out, because in my shootout, the final winner of that day wins 15,000 plus what he won to get to the shootout. So
That's a pretty good return on $1,200 entry fee.
Not too bad for one
Fred,
day.
Fred can buy him a lot of Corona with $25,000.
For one day's work.
That's right.
and we're running out of time, and I appreciate your attitude, your willingness to stay in here with us, and it's just been such a good daggum interview. I just don't want to end it, but one thing I'd like to ask you, in 23 years to the NFR, of course, you had the great horse Levi for 11 of those years. Is there any horse out there now that you have just sat back and watched and said, man, Mike Johnson would like to ride that horse? Who has a horse right now that you would just I mean, it would just be your on your bucket list to ride if something was to happen and it all end tomorrow?
Well, I know Sweetness is horse of the year, and deservedly so, but probably Justin Moss's horse. He looks really nice to ride. He looks easy and smooth, and just a seasoned horse that's a big part of Justin's success. So I would have to say Justin Moss's horse right now would be my favorite.
Yeah, he looked really good out there at Mesquite the other day. And Justin, now there's no question as to when he gets one tied, because I mean he jumps about a foot and a half off the ground every time with that. But he's just an aggressive go-getter. But it's going to be really tight at the National Finals Rodeo. It starts December the 6th. If you haven't got your tickets yet, they are getting harder and harder to get to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. Las Vegas events, you may still can get some through there. Check online, Google, and see who has them for sale. But if you miss the NFR, don't miss Mike Johnson's World's Richest Calf Roping and the Sherry Lynn Johnson Invitational Barrel Race, Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's going to be December the 22nd, right there before Christmas. Hey, put that on your Christmas wish list, kids. You want Mom and Daddy to take you to the World's Richest Calf Roper. Mike, we thank you for joining us today. I know you got a lot to do with riding some horses and getting some things taken care of. We certainly appreciate it. Best of luck to you, and thank you for the hard work you do on behalf of the PRCA, keeping the tie-down roper straight and the calves going good as well.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me.
You betcha.
I've just got to go back. You know, talking to Mike, you know, the one thing when you asked him though, which horse that he wished he could ride if he had to, you know, the whole time there, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Handsome, if he had have only seen Handsome.
You know, Mike's a big old boy and has some long legs, but I don't know if he could get him all the way around Handsome.
I'm thinking if he only knew Handsome, the words he would be saying right now is Handsome, Alan. The horse I wanted on my bucket list to ride is Handsome.
Well, I would think now that the horse on your bucket list to ride would be Mike Johnson's Bam Bam.
I know, the real Bam Bam.
You'll never ride your Bam Bam.
My Bam Bam's like the mini me now.
Yeah. It's a mini me. A mini pony. Yeah.
Bam, bam. I'll be watching the NFR.
I know you will now, because Houston Hutto, I think he said, who's going to be riding Bam Bam. And he really looked good on him the other day, just in the little preview that I had in Mesquite, Texas, there when they were getting calves ready to go to the NFR and such as that. And talking about television, folks, it's going to be on GAC. Good-ass country, I guess. Good country, GAC. And the first performance is going to be live. It's going to be, let me get my little scroller back down, December the 6th, 2012. And these times are all Eastern. You got to, and I'll explain it to you, Tammy, with y'all being, we live an hour ahead of you guys in Texas.
Good with the times.
10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. in Texas, Tammy. The 6th of December, the first performance is live, GAC, and when they took over things last year, GAC really made a difference. And if you don't have it on your dish, if you don't have it on your direct, if you don't have it with your cable, call, beg, plead, do whatever. And there's a way with, I think on dish, you can just do a purchase of a month or two of the Heartland package, I think is what it is, and that will include GAC. And you can get it on dish. I don't know exactly what it is for DirecTV, but you'll have three opportunities to watch the first performance, the first go-round, Thursday night, 12/6/2012, 10 o'clock that night Eastern time. It'll re-air at 1 in the morning. which would be actually the 7th at that time, just in case you're keeping up, Tammy.
You've got to watch it live. It's not the same if you don't watch it live, because it's already happened.
Yeah, but if it starts at 10, that means I have to stay up till about 12:30 to finish watching the whole thing.
Yeah, well, at least you got it live and you knew everything that happened right when it happened.
And then for those that get off early enough, 4:30 p.m. that Friday afternoon, it will re-air again. That's Eastern. It'd be 3:30 your time, Tammy, just in case you're keeping up. And all you have to do is go to www.prorodeo.com and click on the overhead thing, the top, what do they call that top bar thing? Click on the one that says NFR and then go to TV schedule and make your plans and set your DVR. Set your DVR. If you can't stay up to watch it on the East Coast, and like I said, all the live ones will start at 10 p.m., except for that Sunday performance in there. I can't remember where that is. But anyway, a great job with GAC and the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. You don't want to miss it. Again, thank you to Mike Johnson. We certainly appreciate him being with us. www.johnsonsportline.com. Holy cow, you can't go wrong. Horses for sale, T-shirts for sale, caps for sale, and find out more about the world's richest calf rope and the Sherry Lynn Johnson Invitational Barrel Race. I'm going to be there December 22nd, Tulsa, Oklahoma. You going?
I'd love to go. I really would.
That'd be a good day out just before Christmas outing for
it
you
would.
And Vernon.
Exactly. I put it on my Outlook already.
Yeah. And you could cook him a great dinner at a great meal at one of the
I was thinking
finest,
a stop at a great restaurant
on the
interstate.
One of the finest restaurants that there are in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're going to Tulsa, look up Jamil's, J-A-M-I-L-S. Oh, God almighty. You talk about great steak. Jamil's, it's a Lebanese-style restaurant. They bring you tabbouleh. It's the ribs, smoked bologna. Their steaks
Alan,
are out of this world.
It's food again.
I'm sorry.
We're back at food. Tell us about next week.
Jamil's. I'm at Jamil's. their New York strip, medium rare. Holy cow. Jamil's.
I don't like a New York strip. What is a New York strip anyway? I mean, why is it called New York? Because it's Texas.
Well, it's Oklahoma.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, their fillets are awesome, too. I like their fillets. Medium rare. Baked potato.
Ooh, medium rare and medium.
Oh, God. That's shoe leather.
Ooh, no. I don't want a bleeding.
Make a boot out of that. That's where the flavor is. No wonder you don't cook too good. You see, you kill a microwave pizza.
Burn everything.
Yeah. But anyway, check it out online, johnsonsportline.com. You can get your tickets there to be there. And, you know, we got a couple of things coming up over the next couple of weeks with WesternRadioShow.com. I know last week I had talked about the possibility of having Brittany Posey. She was really tied up this week. We're getting some things ready. Possibly this next coming week can get a few minutes to chat with her about leading the world once again for a third world title and a reuniting that she has with the horse that she won her titles on a couple of years ago, several years ago actually, old Stitch, Sixth Vision. She's back on him. He was sold, and then she got him back and sold again, and some folks are letting her use him for a backup horse. Of course, the yellow horse Duke is going, but we're going to get with Brittany before the NFR to find out some of the things that's going on in her life. And Chris Camp, a whip popper, thewhipguy.com. Over the next couple of weeks, and maybe next week, we'll have Chris on as well, a Western entertainer, and the great job he does. Anyway, you look at it, we're going to have a great show for you next week at westernradioshow.com.
Super. And the show notes and links from today's shows at www.westernradioshow.com. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We have a contact link on your website, or you can Twitter at Horse Radio. You can email Alan at horseradionetwork.com or Tammy at horseradionetwork.com. And we're on Facebook.
Yeah, we are. And thanks to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and those Charles Owen helmets. And again, don't forget to purchase the gift of safety for Christmas. Visit all the great shows on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. And congratulations to Jamie. She's going to be a mama. Over at Horses.
A horse or a child?
A two-legged baby. Two-legged baby.
Really?
Congratulations, Jamie. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, she's had to stop drinking and partying.
You will never sleep again.
I don't know that she sleeps having to get up. She babies her horses. You know, she has to make sure they're sleeping good.
Everybody babies.
Make sure
they're
not falling in some kind of gerbil hole or something or other out there like that. You know, whatever it is, that little animal they have. But look forward to a great show next week. We're glad you joined us this week, westernradioshow.com. And remember, folks, no matter how bad things get, the world looks better when you're looking down between the ears of your horse.